Well, greetings, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel. With Bob Christopher and Andrew Farley, I'm Bob Davis, and we'd like to know what's on your mind today. We want to talk with you about it. The phone lines are open at 844-322-2742 in the U.S. and Canada, and we invite your call right now. Again, that's 844-322-2742. So if you have a Bible question or some issue you're dealing with and would like to discuss it, well, now's the time, because it is Basic Gospel, everybody, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Andrew, welcome to the broadcast again today. Always good to be with you.
Indeed. Hey, great to be with you guys.
Yeah, and I hope our callers will actually pick up the phone and dial that number, 844-322-2742, to come in and join us on this broadcast. There's lots to talk about, lots we can talk about, and there's always great hope, great answers right out of the Word of God, answers that people desperately need. So if you are looking for answers in your life, now's a great time to pick up that phone and call. Again, the number 844-322-2742. Andrew, one of the questions that a lot of people have in life is, how do I draw near to God? How do I get close to God? And it really starts with God. I think the answer begins with Him and seeing what He's done for us in Christ Jesus. And that's why I love this passage out of Colossians that I want to share with our listeners today. Colossians chapter 1, starting in verse 19, "For in Him, Jesus, all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through Him to reconcile to Himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of His cross. And you, who were once alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, He is now reconciled in His body of flesh by His death, in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before Him." So God initiates, doesn't He? Yes. And he gives us this indication that He wants to be close to us. He wants to be near to us, so much so that He sent Jesus to bridge that gap, to reconcile us unto Himself. And this is just a beautiful passage of this grace of God that is being poured out, or has been poured out on us in Jesus.
Yes, it is, Bob. And you know, I love what you're saying, because it was God's agenda. It was God's heart. He got the ball rolling. He did everything that He needed to do in order for us to be reconciled. And then the result is that we're holy and we're blameless, we're without blemish, we're free from accusation. If that's true now, imagine 100 years from now. If that's true now, imagine at the final judgment. This is why John can say that we can have confidence in that day of judgment, because, my goodness, the reality is that we're free from accusation. We're without blemish. We don't have anything to worry about in terms of what God's going to think of us then, because what He thinks of us then is exactly what He thinks of us right now: holy, blameless, righteous, without blemish. We need to know this so that we can not just have confidence at the great white throne, but have confidence in this very moment with our Heavenly Father, who's done all the work for us.
Yes, indeed. And it's kind of interesting how Paul starts this. He says, "And you, who were once alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds." So when we were in that disposition toward God, that's when God acted in this work of reconciliation and sending Jesus to shed His blood to bring us to God. So we start this passage from our perspective in a very bad position, and we end up, once we've kind of have been filtered through the blood of Jesus and have received His life, we end up in an incredible position, holy and blameless before Him. That's, talk about power of the gospel to transform us from death to life. This is just a beautiful, beautiful picture, a beautiful beautiful truth that we experience by grace through faith in Jesus.
Yes, it is. And Bob, there's just no greater truth to celebrate. You know, anytime God takes care of something, it's perfect. And if you've been trying to approach God through what you're doing, boy, we've got some great news for you today. You can stop it. You can literally bring it to a screeching halt, and you can say, you know what? I'm going to go through Jesus. I'm going to go through the perfect work of Christ, the finished work. He did it all. He did it perfectly. I can't improve upon that. And so, wow, I get to enjoy a perfect cleanness and closeness with God no matter what. And that's incredible.
That is incredible. Andrew Farley joining Bob, Christopher, and me. And guys, thanks for those excellent thoughts as we get this particular broadcast underway. Basic Gospel, everybody, we want to hear from you on this edition. The number 844-322-2742 is available in the U.S. and Canada. We await your calls right now, 844-322-2742. And friends, wherever you see or hear the Basic Gospel program, we invite you to come to Lewisville, Texas for the United Bible Conference with Bob Christopher and Andrew Farley, October 15th through the 17th. We want you to be here. Visit basicgospel.net/united for event information and registration, and come here, see, and meet two of the finest teachers of our time as they expound on the grace of God. Bob Christopher and Andrew Farley, United. Again, the information and registration available at basicgospel.net/united. Well, once again, the phone number, 844-322-2742. Give us a call, friends. We want to hear from you. We had a couple of email questions that we wanted to pose on the broadcast today, Bob and Andrew. This one is from Kurt. He says, it is my desire to experience the fruit of the Spirit in my walk with Jesus. I'm just not sure how to do that. I'm struggling, he says, on how to relate to the Holy Spirit. I'm also struggling with how to walk in the Spirit. What does it mean to walk in the Spirit? Do I talk with the Holy Spirit the same way I talk to the Father and to Jesus?
Wow, there's a lot there, guys. I think we have three or four questions in that, and they're all important. You go to Galatians 5, and you see the fruit of the Spirit, and of course, it's desirable. Who would not, in their right mind, who would not want to exude these things like faithfulness and goodness and kindness and love? The question is, how do we get there? And I think we have to recognize that we are receivers. We're not producers. We're receivers, and there's a big difference there. This is what Jesus is talking about when he says that he's the vine and we're just the branches. We'll never be the vine. We're not the source of anything. We're compatible as children of God. We fit with Jesus because of our new heart and our new nature, who we are in him. We fit with him, but we will never be the source. We are designed to be dependent creatures. And so with that said, what does it mean to walk by the Spirit? Well, you know, I want to draw our attention to the word by, because it is walk by the Spirit. You know, we're always in the Spirit. If we're going to talk about these locations, we used to be in the flesh. Now we're in the Spirit. We used to be in Adam. Now we're in Christ. So our location is permanently changed. And when I realize that, I say, wait a minute, I'm hitched up to the God of the universe. Are you kidding me? I'm united with Christ. I'm one Spirit with the Lord. And that's permanent. That's my permanent location. Well, then it makes all the sense in the world to listen to his counsel, let him teach me, have him renew my mind. I mean, these sort of things are just logical when you realize who you are. So I think step one is learn what God did for you, learn what God did to you, and then learn how God treats you. Be a receiver of his love. And then, Bob, then you're going to be a transmitter of his love.
Absolutely. And you know, we don't have to worry so much about fruit. I mean, we don't have to be fruit inspectors in other people's lives. We don't have to be fruit inspectors in our own lives. It's like a trunk sitting there saying, how am I going to get apples on those branches? Well, God's already rigged that. He's put a source of life that's going to flow through the trunk, that's going to go through the branches, and eventually fruit's going to show up. And that's the same for us. God's got this thing under control. He is there. He's alive. He's living in us. So we're going to see the fruit of his life in and through us. If we can just relax with that I think it would be a lot better for us, don't you?
Yeah, you know, we decide what we think a God is doing, and sometimes he's doing something totally different. It seems like if you leave it up to the Bible Belt instead of the Bible, you leave it up to the Bible Belt, and you end up with standards like, well, the fruit of the Spirit must be a quiet time, and the fruit of the Spirit must be how often you're in a church building, and the fruit of the Spirit must be how often you're sharing your faith or doing this or doing that, and we start measuring ourselves and determining where we're at with God by how much frantic activity we're doing. And yet you come back to the Bible and you see, wait a minute, the fruit of the Spirit is compatible with housework. The fruit of the Spirit is compatible when you're laid up in a hospital bed. The fruit of the Spirit is compatible with the business person and the medical person and really anybody and everybody. That's the beauty of God, who is our life. Well, that life can be lived with him inside of us, inspiring us, really, no matter what job we have or no matter what our day looks like. So we got to stop measuring. That was the first sin in the garden. They decided that things weren't good enough and they wanted to improve their status. And then they ate of that tree in order to measure good and evil. And that's where we went wrong in the first place.
That's absolutely right. So let's put away those scorecards. Let's put away that judgment toward ourselves and just relax in Jesus and let him do his thing in and through us. Boy, that's when the Christian life really gets exciting.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, this is Basic Gospel, 844-322-2742. Let's go to New York and talk with Frieda. Hi, Frieda.
Frieda.
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call. So I just have a quick question before I ask my main question. I know that I usually call into your show and Andrew's show, but, like, what is the time length in between, like, I can call? Because I really don't want to, like, bogart the lines and I don't want you guys to get tired of me. So, like, how long should I wait in between the calls to make a call?
Oh, well, you know, we'd welcome your call anytime, my friend. I would say, my goodness, if you want to call in every couple weeks with a new one, then it gives other people a chance to participate. But at the same time, I have found that your questions are ones that likely hundreds and thousands of people are asking even as they listen to you. So we always enjoy what you have to offer.
Yeah, I'll ditto that, Frieda. So don't be afraid to pick up that phone and give us a call anytime. So with that said, what's on your mind today? Something about Hebrews 10:25, I think.
Yeah, so of course, as you guys know, I usually write my questions down, but I'm really working on simplifying my questions because I know I can sometimes go on and on. So hopefully I did a good job. So first I want to do a quote by Tony Evans. He says, "I hear people say, I don't have to go to church to be a Christian, and they are absolutely right. Salvation is through faith alone in Christ alone, but you don't have to go home to be married, but stay away long enough and your relationship will be affected. As a person who has not physically been a member of a specific church building going on probably 4 years now, I have heard from others, oftentimes in a subtle way, that I was disregarding Hebrews 10:25 by forsaking fellowship, and I was putting myself in a dangerous place because I didn't have a pastoring to be my covering. I have nothing against those who choose to be part of a church that is contained within four walls. I personally choose not to go because all churches in my area teach predominantly on law-based diluted grace, and because I don't have a car, I can't drive to look for other churches outside my area. My thing is, it's not about the building, but what's being taught inside the building. In my early church days, I became so accustomed to verses such as Malachi 3:8-10, Matthew 6:15, 2 Chronicles 7:14, which to me is just the old covenant version of 1 John 1:9. I was taught the Lord's Prayer, but never understood it in context.
Well, Frieda, can we jump in? And I think we've got the gist of what you're asking there. And
Now, just let me read this last part, because this is the gist of what I wanted to say. So after saying all this, isn't Hebrews 10:25 a passage that is based primarily on the new covenant? Isn't it based on encouraging others not to go back to the old covenant rituals? So if I go to a church that is preaching law-based grace, am I really abiding by Hebrews 10:25?
Right. Okay. Well, yeah. I mean, the focus of Hebrews 10 and this passage, Frieda, is really two words, love and encouragement. So let's spur one another on toward love, and let's encourage one another. So that's why they're meeting together, and that's what our need is. So can that happen online? Sure, that can happen to some degree online, but I think the author of Hebrews is saying, you know, to be able to be in the physical presence of other people, it doesn't say you've got to be in a church building. It doesn't say it's got to be 100 people or more. It doesn't say it's got to be Sunday morning at 10 a.m. I mean, these were home churches. These were what you would call today similar to Bible studies happening in homes. And so, I mean, my encouragement to you is you're free, and look, that we've got the whole planet practically that has taken a break from gathering together because of recent conditions. It's not some sort of legalistic plea to us to meet a quota and show up at a building for 60 minutes and then we've logged our time. It's more about the benefit of Christ living in you and Christ living in me. And so when we get together for a hug and a handshake and a smile and some encouragement and crack open God's word and start looking into it, the truth sets us free. Together we encourage each other and love each other. So there's a dozen ways to do that, Bob. And I think that, you know, the sky's the limit. We can think outside the box. We could have a few friends over for food and fellowship if we wanted. But it's not about frequency. It's not about hitting a benchmark. It's not about a number. It really is about love and encouragement, isn't it?
It is. It truly is. And we are a body. God placed us into the body of Christ. We're all members of that body, which means we're members one with another. And so it's wonderful to gather together as fellow members of the body of Christ. And you said something else in there, Frieda, about a pastor being your covering and those sort of things.
And you need a pat, like if you're out of the church building and you're in a dangerous place, because you don't have a pastor to be your covering to guide you in the scriptures.
Well, we have the Holy Spirit living in us, and we have the Word of God, and we're accountable to Him. And he's going to do his work in and through us. He's going to give us the discernment we need. He's going to give us the wisdom that we need. Yes, sometimes we receive that through fellow members of the body of Christ, but I think it's kind of ridiculous that we try to set a hierarchy within the body. There are different gifts. There's different giftings, but we're all equal as far as children of God. We all have the same gift of God's Spirit. We all can be an encouragement one to another. So let's just let the Word of God speak for itself. Let's experience all that we can as we gather together with other believers in Christ, whether that's two at a restaurant or whatever it might be, and just allow God's Spirit to work in and through us.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, 1 Timothy 5 talks about elders and leaders, and, you know, it talks about them being worthy of respect, but it's really directed at those who lead well. And I love that, because he's not saying to blindly fall at the feet of those who are abusing their role or leading people astray or hurting people. No, he's talking about people who lead well, and that's the folks that we should respect as they serve in that way. But no, there's no higher status. There's no umbrella needed. We're not, taken care of by another person. It's the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ that qualifies us. And we're under his umbrella, the new covenant umbrella. We're qualified by him.
Well, Frieda, as always, great question, and we'll look forward to hearing from you again with another great question in the future. So Don't hesitate to pick up that phone and give us a call. Well, let's go.
Go back to the drawing board to simplify my questions because I'm such an expressive person. Like, I don't know how to make things simple. So I'm going to go back to drawing board, and hopefully next time I make my call, it will be a lot more simpler.
Well, that was, thank you, guys. Thank you,
yeah,
Frida.
Thank you.
Well, let's go to Greenville, South Carolina, and talk with Albert. Hi, Albert.
Hi, Bob and Andrew. How you all doing?
Hey, Albert.
Good.
What's on your mind today?
Well, you know, I heard everything that you guys were talking about today, and you know, and I thought of something that was in my mind a long time ago, and the things that we do in church. And, you know, I picture myself in the Lord's Supper, I mean, in a true Lord's Supper where the Lord is sitting there with the disciples. And then all of a sudden, the Lord is going to say something, or Jesus is going to say something. The disciples say, okay, let's hurry up. Let's stand up. Bring the pulpit to him. Oh, no, you're not standing up. You know, you're not having respect, you know. Mm-hmm. We have turned everything into a circus, really. Another thing is, it's like if we were all drinking the wine, hey, nobody pick up that glass of wine unless Jesus Christ picks it up first. You know, it's all, we turn everything into a ritual, into some kind of a man's respect. Yeah. I mean, I wonder if Jesus Christ, if he would have run out of wine, if people would have scrambled to get him, and fill up his cup, or if somebody else would have run a wine, I wonder who would be the one who would have filled up the cup. And I think that Jesus would have done it. Mm-hmm. I think he was the one. He would have been the one who would have stood up and say, Frank or Bob or Albert or Andrew, or you know, you've run out of wine. I'm going to fill up your cup. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's crazy what we have come out in church with, you know?
Well, Albert, you bring up some great points, really two or three of them that are pretty interesting. I mean, Jesus changed water into wine. We see that in John chapter 2, so he's certainly not anti-wine. The scripture says don't be drunk with wine, but it doesn't say don't drink wine. I mean, the apostles drank wine, the early church drank wine, Christians all over the world drink wine. Sure, we should use discernment if there's a struggle with alcoholism there or something, but no, we're free. We're free in Christ, and we can give thanks for food and drink, and we can have a clean conscience concerning those things because of our freedom in Christ. And a lot has changed over 2,000 years. I hear you. I mean, we went from little pockets of home churches. There were 8 people or 15 people in a house, and then suddenly there's mega churches of 8 or 15,000 in a stadium. And you say, well, how do we communicate with those people? And things have changed over the years. They have. And yet, I don't think God cares anything about that. I don't think he cares about the seating arrangement. I don't think he cares about stained glass or regular glass. I think what he cares about is the message that people walk away with. He wants people to know his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, this author of this beautiful new covenant, our high priest, who took away our sins and made us righteous. That's what he wants every believer to know, how good the gospel message really is.
And you're certainly not going to get there through human effort or trying to be obedient to the law, trying to earn righteousness that way. You're only going to experience that by grace through faith in Jesus. So, Albert, thank you. Thank you so much for your call. Great to hear from you. You call again anytime, my friend.
Yes, indeed. Thanks, Albert, for calling. Thanks to Frida and to Kurt for that great email question. And we love hearing from you, our listeners, and we hope you'll keep in mind what I say every day, that the listener line is open around the clock for those of you who can't make the call during the live broadcast. If you have questions about a Bible passage or about the Christian life, leave a voicemail for us at 844-322-2742, and of course, we'll discuss it on the Basic Gospel program. Again, that number, 844-322-2742, that's good in both the U.S. and Canada. We hope you will use it. Well, that is it for another edition of Basic Gospel, everybody. Remember, it's because of you that we're here every weekday bringing you the good news of the gospel of grace in Jesus Christ. We need your help now, as always, to ensure that the message of grace continues on the airwaves and online. You can donate now or anytime when you visit basicgospel.net, a big prominent donate link right on the homepage at basicgospel.net. We hope you'll join us and make a contribution today. Well, now for Bob Christopher, for Andrew Farley and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to join us again tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel. Have a great evening, everybody, and we'll see you then. Bye-bye.